Hey, Matt, please. So once again, let us come together and simply remember. Let us remember that immortal mind presence, which is not only in us, but as us, our fullness, our grace, our glory, our intelligence, and our receptivity. So as we remember, let us also remember our true names, those names that link our humanity with our divinity, that individualize that Christhood in us, just as it was in Jesus. And so let us remember. Remember not only who we are, but whose we are. That immortal mind presence, which penetrates to every level of our being, every cell in our body. So as we remember together, let us do so with that single eye awareness which witnesses the presence of the Holy Spirit operating in us, lifting us beyond the veils of the flesh. For as we see with this single eye awareness into every condition, every situation, we also stand with undivided tongues in testimony to this mighty presence. For as we remember for the entire world, not only for ourselves, so that the light that radiates from us warms and lights the souls of each and every human being, each sentient being. So for this call, for this ministry, for this mission and this journey of remembrance, we are grateful beyond measure, and so it is. Amen. So, Shara, would you be gracious enough to read our class covenant for today?
I will. Sacred Covenant for the Cross, Intersection of Heaven and Earth. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him he reconciled all things unto himself, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Colossians 1:20. The cross is not a burden, as commonly understood, but a symbol of the forces in man adjusted in their right relationship. Charles Fillmore, The Revealing Word. Our purpose is truth, our vision, becoming truth through the right relationship with the cross of Christ. My intentions are to take up my cross daily and follow Jesus Christ, to reconcile heaven and earth by my awareness of the true cross, to stand witness and testimony to the power and passion of the cross, to experience the enrichment of my being by revealing truth, and to know the portal of the cross as redemption in every human soul.
Thank you so much, Char. Now, I would ask at this time, has anyone added a covenant, a intention to their own class covenant that they'd like to share? All right, hearing none. I'm sorry, was someone about to speak? Okay, yes.
Oh, good morning, it's Arlene again, grateful.
Good morning.
The covenant that I had put down was, know and see the Christ in all. And I've had some experiences last week that I could do that, you know, under the circumstances, and I was able to see the Christ in that person and bless them. And so I felt really good about that. Yes.
Wonderful. Now, in the spirit of witnessing and witness and testimony, would you like to tell us some of the details of that incident?
Well, I was
free to, if you would.
Can you hear me? Because I'm not sure about my mute.
Yeah, we just have an overlap. I think sometimes with the cell phones and the landlines, there's a little bit of overlap. But
okay.
But go right ahead.
But you can't hear me. Thank you. Thank
you.
Well, I was dog sitting for Sagan, a big dog, 85 pounds, for the family. And I was going on the walk and kind of on an incline. And And the dog is so friendly, very sweet. He doesn't harm anybody, but I understand his bigness can frighten people. So there was a woman with her two dogs and two Jack Russells and another woman on the other side, and she screamed on top of her lungs, and she kept screaming because I had to let the leash go because I didn't want to tumble down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
So as she screamed and yelled, get your dog, and a lot of other things, and I just had such compassion for her. I really did. And I said, I know the Christ is in her. And I had compassion for her. I had compassion for myself because I didn't want to, you know, I didn't do it intentionally, but I was protecting myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other woman seemed to have some empathy. I saw that in her face. She didn't like the way the other woman was behaving. So anyway, it was a beautiful moment because she never moved her dogs, but I went down to the dog Sagan and picked up his leash, and I said I was extremely sorry what happened, and I was, because maybe she was frightened. I don't want to make any judgment. So I just blessed her, and see, I saw the Christ in her. And that was my little story for this week. Thank you for listening.
Absolutely. And what I hear you saying, this is an important point, what I hear you saying is that the Christ in you was recognized by her at some point, in some way.
Yes, I felt it. I felt it.
That's such an important point, Arlene, because it's a demonstration of truth, in that the Christ in one, when truth is revealed or truth is demonstrated, it's always recognized because everyone has that sacred memory. It's just a matter of how conscious we are about it. So I think that's an important point in your story, and thank you for sharing that. So does anyone else have a intention that they'd like to share that they might have added? All right. Well, with that, last week, as you all know, we experienced a whirlwind memory session. That a lot was put on the table in a very short period of time, and I don't think that was an accident. I mean, I had two sessions lined out, and I thought I had it all organized perfectly, but it came out so effortlessly and so fluidly last week that everything I had to present was presented in one session. And I got to thinking about that, and it occurred to me that maybe there was a reason for that. And I'm thinking, I want to see how things go today. We don't have an agenda today. What we have is an opportunity to share and to clarify what was put on the table last week. And we can do that in a number of ways. I think that you've had a week to allow the presentation from last week to percolate, and a chance to look at the charts and a chance to read the essay. So I want to turn it over to you guys first and ask if there's anything that was said last week in my presentation that needs clarification or that you want to talk about or make observations about. Anything at all. Nothing's off the table for today.
For me, I had a conversation with Jesus when I was in the hot tub. And for me, I recognized the resurrected Christ. Somebody told me it's not that important for me to really experience the crucifixion, that when I'm ready, I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
But he is the resurrected Christ. And there is truly a communication between me and Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes. But you're pretty clear on the point that the Jesus Christ presence that you commune with is the resurrected Christ, the Christ that's been on the cross already.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, well, all in good time, Michael. Thank you for sharing. Did you have anything else? Anything else you wanted to share?
No, that's it.
Okay. Anyone else have anything they'd like to share?
This is Marjorie, and I'd like to have more clarification. When you spoke about the crosshood is a way to Christ-hood, Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned something about an esoteric cross, a cross of substance. Would you speak to that, please?
Well, I think the let me address your first question first. I thought that was a good way to just kind of encapsulate how important the cross is. I mean, there's a lot of religious history around the cross that would have us believe that Christ went to the cross for us and that we don't have to do it. If that were true, then I don't think Jesus, and he made this statement in, using different words four different times, take up your cross and follow me. That was his instruction to the initiates, and by extension, to all of the faithful. So if we were not meant to experience the cross ourselves in our own ways, then I don't think that statement would have ever been made. If Jesus knew that his experience on the cross would take care of everything for everybody, then there'd be no point to our own individualized journey. Jesus made that journey for himself as an example for us, but he was at a place in consciousness where he was able to take up and take up the sins for the entire world and allow his blood to enter the earth so that we would feel what he felt and that we would know what he knew, and that because of our earthly, individualized earthly histories, we go to the cross ourselves so that we become as Jesus Christ. So that's the, I think that's the message there that's important. I think it's important to realize that our cross is our cross, and to be willing to take up our own cross daily is the real instruction. So it's that idea of crosshood and accepting that and embracing that really is the purification process and the integration process that brings us to Christhood. Without that purification, without that stripping away of all of those earthly errors, that's one of the missions of the cross, to strip all that away. And the other mission is to bring, and this is in the charts, which we should probably take a look at, that whole co-redemptive ideal is bound up in that stripping away and that purification so that the resurrection can actually take place. Does that clarify that statement a little bit, Marjorie? Marjorie, are you on mute?
Yes, it does, Dave, and it gives me hope in terms of, I wouldn't say every day, but many days, I'm aware of a cross to bear, and sometimes it's big and sometimes it's little, but at the same time, in carrying that, I feel and know that I'm getting closer all the time to that aspect of Christhood that you spoke of.
And again,
so thank you.
You know, the dirty little secret here is all of us here have already done this. It's just we're not as conscious about it as we might be now. We've all been on the cross before. Anytime we've suffered and healed, anytime we've felt passionately about something and watched truth emerge from that, that's a journey to the cross. It's just we do it many times. Jesus did it the one time as an example for us. He didn't do it as much for us as he did it as us. And we follow him there.
He showed the way.
Exactly. As he did with all things. So
right.
that's what that statement means, that the willingness to go to the cross, and again, the element that I think gets left out a lot that we talked about last week is that idea of passion. That's what gets us there. It's the passion that gets us there. We've all experienced that kind of passion. You know, a love and a sense of purpose so deep, so strong, and so uplifting that it can't be ignored. You know, we've experienced it humanly. We've experienced it, you know, to get us to the cross. and sweep all those errors of suffering and death and sin out of the way. It's the passion that does that. I mean, we see examples of that all around us, you know, now that we're conscious of it. So the passion is an essential element in experiencing that Christhood through the crosshood. Is that that sufficient on that, Marjorie?
It definitely is. And, you know, I've said I've been a crybaby most of my life. And I think now I can look at those tears as being part of the passion,
mm-hmm.
no matter how they were, you know, whether it was out of joy or out of suffering.
Yes, yes. I think we could also say that the passion that we're talking about for our purposes, the passion of the Christ really is the passion of the cross.
Very good. So, thank you, Dave.
So there was another element to your question.
The other thing I wanted to ask is about the esoteric cross and the cross of substance.
Okay. Well, I think that is pretty much summed up in the, first of all, you know, to simplify it, again, you know, the cross of human history is the cross of suffering. It's the Roman idea of the cross, which is just, you know, two pieces of lumber nailed together, and the idea around that as a place of suffering, a place of death, a place of punishment, as the Romans used it. I mean, that's the human idea of the cross. The cross of substance, I think, is pretty much summed up in the two charts that we sent out before class. That I don't know if you guys are looking at those or not, but the co-redemptive cross and the cross of integration. Those are really the crosses of substance. And when I say substance, the idea of substance is something that's divine, comes directly from the Father intelligence, from that divine mind, through Genesis mind, which is, you know, the idea of Genesis mind that we've talked about before really is that purified mind. So the cross of substance is the cross the way it's meant to be experienced to expose our divinity. Does that make sense?
Yes, that does make sense.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Anything else?
Nope, that's it for me for now.
All right.
It's Arlene again. I love the idea of the divine mind because I sort of believe that today. It's in my consciousness. I do have the divine mind, and
yes.
I can do anything, and I can do anything with it. All my ideas come from my divine mind, and I thank God every day when I think of something. It's not me. My human self is very limited, but my divine mind is unlimited all the time, and
exactly.
I see that every single day. Thank you.
And it's been there. It's always been there. And this is one of the things that the cross does, strips away all those layers of human nature, human thought, human ideas, human errors. The cross strips all of that away. And not only does it do that, then it reintegrates everything into truth. So thank you, Arlene.
This is Karen.
Yes,
can I just say a little something here? Because Robert asked me this morning, well, what did I take away from this class so far? He wanted to know, you know, the main thing I took away. And to me, it was that the cross is something we do. We follow Jesus when we do the cross every day when we do our spiritual practice. Because we release those things, those errors, we don't look at the world anymore. We
mm-hmm.
look at the truth. And it's hard. We go through just that's what the power of Marcia and Reverend Lloyd's releasing prayer and forgiveness prayers is that we're able to bring that up. We're on the cross. We're able to bring it up in our consciousness. Go through suffering, and we go through crying, and we go through struggle, But at the end, then you see the glory. But you see what happens at the end. And some people, I think, don't even recognize the good that comes forth from it. But each of us have that within us, that resistance to want to do it. You know, we all do. Well, I'd rather do something else today than sit there for an hour. But, you know, it's so, you're right. It's just so, I loved it that it is finished. That statement of Jesus really talked to me because it is finished. That's what we want. That's what we thirst for. Or I thirst that it to be is finished. I thirst for that, I guess is what I want to say. And that passion is what brings us to the cross every day.
Absolutely. Very well said. Very well said, Karen. And you touched on an element here that I meant to add a little earlier, and that's that idea of, because there was a time for all of us when we were, you know, pretty unconscious. There's something that brings us to the spiritual lives we have now. But there was likely a time where we were pretty shut down, pretty earthly, not thinking there was anything beyond that. But, and that's where, and again, this dovetails with what Margie was asking about. One of the things that defines the cross of substance is that if you contrast what I said at the beginning of last week's session with that little annotated history, material history of the cross, and the rest of the class the rest of the session devoted to the substance of the cross. So the cross's symbol is what we laid down last week, and the cross of substance is what we take up more consciously. And I hear that in what Karen's saying. So that kind of further clarifies what Marjorie was asking about, is the difference between, you know, what is the cross of substance, and it's the true cross, the cross that is no longer connected to symbols and duality and earthly interpretations. So thank you, Karen, for reminding me about that. Oh, and one other thing. You touched on this, Karen, and I meant to talk about it a little bit. Part of the passion that gets us to the cross is when we've done it before, we've all done it. If you really do some soul searching, you see that to get to the point in consciousness that you are now, you've occupied many crosses. And what gets us there time after time, and part of that passion, is the knowledge of the fruit that the cross bears, the fruit of the resurrection. We've experienced that. All of us have experienced that. So that's what will bring us back time after time after time, is that knowledge and that passion for the healing, for the restoration, and for the transfiguration that process bears. So any other commentary on that, or anyone have anything else new they'd like to bring up?
It's Arlene again. on the wake of Karen, when I think back, the suffering, you know, I didn't know any better. I didn't have it in my consciousness. I didn't know any better. And there was a lot of suffering, ignorance. So today it's so different because I'm not resisting. You know, I'm taking the cross.
Oh,
you know, I'm
definitely
Following Jesus. You know, it's so different now. The resistance was, that's all I knew, but today I know differently. And so this course is really wonderful because it's going to deepen my spirituality very much. So thank you so much.
And what you just said is so, so important, that idea of, you know, what is the real nature of suffering? And it's our resistance. There's no cosmic requirement for suffering. Suffering is our resistance, and if that's part of our fear about the cross, then we have to lay it down ourselves. And that's what Arlene just spoke to, that idea of coming to your senses in a more elevated spiritual sense, so that the suffering we experience, we know that the experience of suffering that we have is self-generated. You know, through free will, we have the choice to suffer or to not suffer, but there's no requirement for it. So as we lay that down a little bit at a time, our attachment to our own ideas and those that illusion of the rights we have to ourselves, as we lay all that down, the suffering is nothing. I mean, it completely just dissolves like a shadow. So thank you for that, Arlene.
Yes, just a minute. This is Karen. I just have a quick question about that, because sure. I just had somebody ask me that out in the world. Why all the suffering? And, you know, you go, and that's that thought, too, that we have, that we have the choice to either do our spiritual work and know the truth or not. And there is a lot of suffering in the world right now.
Well, there is. But look where it comes from. It comes from the world. It comes from the earth. It doesn't come as there's no duality in the universal mind.
Right. But there's a lot of people think it comes from, you know, from God. They do. They think, why are we having to suffer? When is he going to stop? That's what I heard. When is he going to stop the suffering?
Well, that's kind of being stuck in the Old Testament.
Yes.
It started in the garden. It started in the, and you look at it again, that's kind of important too. Look at the importance of gardens. Gardens are always a place where choices are made. You know, the Garden of Gethsemane, the Garden of Eden. I mean, when we chose the tree of knowledge over that kind of unconscious consciousness about perfection that was offered, we activated the law of free will. And every moment after that, you could make the case that we have chosen, out of our ignorance or our enlightenment, either suffering or perfection. And there's power in that, because if you accept the idea that we are responsible for our ideas about suffering, then we have the key to unlock that prison. So I think it's pretty clear that, to me, that our suffering is mostly self-generated. Anything else, Karen? Did you have anything else?
No, you're right, but it's hard to say that to somebody. But, you know, the thing is that you can say, you know, that we were given free will and God loves us. You know, that's all you can say to somebody at that time, unless they want more from you. That God really loves us. Not going to do that.
There's a divine plan in all of it. We had to choose the tree of knowledge, or there'd be no, we couldn't individualize. We couldn't be individualized expressions of Christ without that free will. I mean, it's a journey, it's a long road, and we get the, you know what, beat out of us, you know, time after time. But in the end, it's perfection by our own choosing. And that's what individualizes us. That's the Jesus in our Christ.
Well, that's what you said yesterday, too, which I really firmly agree that you can't do it for another person either. You can lead them, or you can direct them, or you can be an example for them, just like Jesus Christ was. But you can't do this work. Well, they have to do it themselves.
You can. You can. And I think if you just said something I'm not going to challenge it, but I would just make a suggestion. It's hard. There are some people, and we all have like that in our lives, where it's hard to tell the truth that we know. You know, especially about something like suffering. They always think it's, you know, it's somebody else, or this happened, or that happened, or it came on by some chain of events. I think we tell them the truth anyway, because it's. I mean, I like to work from the perspective, even if they don't agree and if there's a lot of resistance, maybe 10 years from now they'll remember it.
I can remember
hearing things like that when I first entered Science of Mind, things that just made so little sense to me and I was so resistant to that I completely dismissed them. And years later, the lights came on. So I think in the spirit of witness and testimony of our own, we tell people the truth we know anyway, and then just let it be.
I agree. So, that's good to do.
So So there you go on that one. Anything else? Did you have anything else?
No, thank you so much.
Okay. How about anyone else have anything they'd like to share or observations, well, questions?
Well, Marlene, I like that free will, you know. We do have a free will. It's up to us, but I know I can't make anyone do what I would like to have them do, for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's up to them. It's live and let live. I could be an example, like Karen had mentioned. But I found that even myself, when the pupil's ready, the teacher shows up. And when I was ready, you know, if the teacher showed up, you know, and I'm so grateful for that. But having that free will, it's wonderful, but it's scary too, because, you know, it's up to us. When we make the choices, and there may be consequences, but it's up to us. That free will, you know, gives us a lot of freeway.
Absolutely, but absolutely necessary, and it's, again, to make individualized gods of each of us. That free will is necessary. Otherwise, we're just like, you know, spiritual automatons, for lack of a better term. So the free will is absolutely necessary. And, you know, again, to kind of interpret the story of the Garden of Eden, the tree of knowledge was placed there for a reason. Because immortal mind knew we'd choose that because we had to. So that's where that journey started, you know, in the kind of esoteric sense. Anyone else have anything they'd like to get clarified or comment on? Anything you'd like to share?
I would, Dave, this is Marjorie again. And I want to look at the essay that was sent out this week, St.
Sure.
Paul, Man of the Cross, Man on the Cross. Many years ago, I think it was 1994, Marcia took a group of us to Turkey, and the purpose of that trip was the seven crosses, or the seven churches that was mentioned in Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And we did visit all of those sites, but your essay brought that more to life than that three-week trip that I made those many years ago. And granted, I'm in a different place in consciousness than I was then. But this essay, I wish I could memorize every single word, because there wasn't a paragraph that didn't lodge itself in my heart. I think it's an outstanding essay and one that I want to keep close.
Well, I'm honored that it spoke to you like that. Well, I'm kind of wondering, we kind of touched on this. Did you have anything else you needed to say, Marjorie?
No, that's it. Just wanted to point that essay out, hoping that we don't lose track of it.
Okay. I'm just wondering that on page 2 of that essay, on the bottom of the first paragraph, I kind of posed 3 questions. And I'm just wondering if anybody pondered those at all. So what I asked was, as initiates, we may ask ourselves if we are influenced in the same way, which, you know, that influence of the earth over the what we're invited to do on the cross. What keeps us from taking up our own cross daily as Jesus directed? Do we fear the flesh and blood aspect of the cross endured by him while concealing the true nature of the cross experience? And we just touched on this. Is the suffering and agony we fear a specter of our own making? So I think those are valid questions that when we're facing a cross, when we're facing making wholesale changes in our lives, elevate us spiritually by the cross experience, what keeps us from doing it? And I think those are valid questions, because I believe that what we will come up with every time as answers are earthly answers from our own past, from our blood and body of our ancestors, from societal norms. So I think those are just questions that and we all know when we're facing a cross. We all know it. Things happen in our lives that start to demand change, and that is always an opportunity to look at the next cross experience. So any other comments, questions on the essay?
Well, this is Karen, and I love the essay. Thank you so much. I agree with Marjorie. This is the first time I actually understood the scripture. I mean, I've heard people say, I am crucified with Christ. And I'm going, why? But after reading, after this class and after reading this essay, I understand why St. Paul meant so much to Reverend Marcia, too, that because she saw him as like we are. He suffered. Even when he was in the midst of his ministry doing wonderful things, he still had to go through the human flesh of being ill at times and judgment and other things he went through just like we go through, which I really like. He still struggled with duality and anger and, I just love that where you say, even in the midst, St. Paul always knew the saving grace of transformation, integration, and resurrection that was and is the mighty promise of the cross for those that are willing. So we're just willing.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Karen.
Yeah, I agree with you totally on what you said, that he really was an example of what we go through. He did it.
He is. He's a chapter in our own stories.
Yes, very much so. I love
really
that. Is. Never thought it before until I read this essay, and I go, wow, now I understand.
And to me, it's a comfort to have somebody like Paul. Paul is close enough to the earth where Paul can, if we allow it, Paul can walk with us on these journeys, especially journeys to the cross. Because of his own journey. So he becomes an example too. And I just thought that in that respect, and just again, kind of a sidebar, who was it? I can't think of his first name, but I think his last name was Wanagren, that wrote an exhaustive, almost, it's kind of semi-fictional account of Paul's life, and it's just called Paul. And I know some of you have probably seen it, but if you're interested in more of Paul's life, I would suggest that book. It's just called Paul, and by an author named Wanagren, I believe. It's so. No, thank you, Karen. Anyone
Hello.
Else have? I'm sorry.
I'm Arlene again. I also want to thank you so much for this essay. I have read it over and over again, and before I went to bed last night, I read it again. It's just beautiful, and I love that paragraph that you brought up, because I think of Paul, to think that he gave all his riches up, all the earthly riches to do the cross.
Yes.
And to follow Jesus. And I mean, to me, that was huge, he doing that. So he is a wonderful example, and I think it's, but I love the essay. I really do. It's wonderful. There's so much in it, Thank you so much.
Yeah, he's an example that's, I think on a daily basis, it's reachable for us. Sometimes it seems like Jesus might be a little unreachable from where we happen to be in a place of consciousness. But an example like Paul is reachable, in that context. So I think it's there's a comfort in that, because I can see so much of myself in a character like Paul. And I think that's what makes him interesting and vital. Anything else on the... I'm sorry?
This is Karen again. I did want to say something regarding that also is sometimes, at least for me, I feel like I have to admit I missed the mark. I'm not this wonderful person that's walking in the glory of God, or saying things, but... I'm still in my human personality. So when you look at Paul, you can say he still had his ministry. He still did all these wonderful things. He still, even in the midst of everything, he still did it. He didn't feel like You're right. You didn't feel like you know you have to walk on the water, which I like to do.
Absolutely true. And I think, you know, and if we're all honest with ourselves, we all feel that way.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, look at the concessions we make consciously and unconsciously just to live in the world these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but to be conscious about that is the first step in changing it and rising above it more fully. I mean, it's really important for Paul. You know, it was almost an instantaneous process, you know, the blinding on the road to Damascus. But I'm not sure, you know, for Christ to unfold in us, it happens in steps. And I think that's so important. It'd be so easy to be overwhelmed and be blinded by the light if everything were just to happen instantaneously. Plus, there'd be no wisdom in it. I mean, the wisdom that we get comes out of these little journeys that we make and these crosses that we hang on time after time after time. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be able to extract the wisdom from the experiences we have. So I think that's important. What you said, Karen.
Yes, thank you so
much. I'm Eileen again. I was thinking... when you were talking about, you know, this journey that we're on, it's a process. You know, it's from the head to the heart. That's how I always look at process. And so this is a process, and it's not going to happen instantly, you know. And for myself, you know, but it's a process, and
yes.
I have to accept and, you know, respect that too. Thank you.
So that's why one of the attributes that I added to the cross of integration was patience, and it was just for that reason. Because without patience, it's easy to, you know, in the world we want it all right now. We kind of live in a society that it would make us believe that that's the way to do things. But patience with ourselves, patience with others, patience with whatever conditions we see, because it's out of that patience that I think we're more willing to genuinely and authentically make a statement like "let it be," which is becoming more and more vital. So patience is an element there. And thank you for bringing that up, Eileen. Anyone else have anything they'd like to add?
Yes, good morning, Dave. This is Jean.
Yes, Jean.
A few things. One is, Reverend Marcia had mentioned that book on Paul, which I got, and I've read it several times.
Yes.
It's like a novel.
It is.
Almost in its reading, which, it's near and dear to my heart, and I reread it often. The other thing is, with the cross, last week's discussion was so full. And I just sat with this for several days afterwards. And right afterwards, the notion kind of bubbled up in me that the integration of the kingdoms and the cross, and that where we are coming from, which is the vertical line, is where the Holy Spirit intersects and makes manifest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that just, you know, we always see the cross with the intersection towards the top. And for me anyway, that's not always the case. And so I thought that's very interesting, because it's the Holy Spirit, the activity of Christ, that makes manifest. Maybe I'm at one of the seven deadly sins, and that's what comes manifest in my life. And I thought on that for a very long time also. So thank you.
Absolutely. And I think that one of the reasons that I think the lower vertical bar is so long is because that's coming up from the earth, and we clutter that up with a lot of steps. You know, the Father presence, where the divine will comes down, is, you know, profound, but it's simple. It's unified. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, the cross of integration and the steps that we take to get there. I mean, we come out of the earth with that satanic will, which is, you know, just total unconsciousness. And then we develop our own mind and out of that our own thoughts. And then we start to declare what we want, you know, which is, again, these are all free will choices, and there's a lot of them. So I think that's why that lower bar is so long, because it has to be to include all of the, you know, the little errors and missteps and things that we lay down to find that centrality, to find that place where the way I look at this, you know, the vertical bar is, oh God, how can I describe this? The vertical bar is the journey of becoming, for lack of a better way of saying it. And I think in the way I used it, the horizontal beam is the journey of doing. And when those two places intersect, that becoming journey and the doing journey, that's where real integration is. And that's when our Jesus really emerges from our Christ and becomes our true name. So does that make any sense?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
I would say that's well said, that doing and being in that, at that point of the heart, that integration of that.
Yes.
I hadn't thought of it that way, so thank you.
Well, and I probably wouldn't have, except this is the, you know, to be Jesus Christ, or to be Marjorie Christ, or Karen Christ, or, you know, to live by your true names, any of us, is the intersection of doing and being. Because we still, you know, to be on this earthly plane, we have to have, again, the veil gets thin, but we are still creatures of identity and creatures of doing things. But it's at that point where this intersection of heaven and earth happens on the cross, we are doing from our being instead of trying to be from our doing. And that's a heck of a shift. That really is, to me, that's one of the major shifts we make coming out of Kingdom 2 and going into Kingdom 3. So does that make sense?
Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
It does.
It does to me, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's vital. It's very important. At least I think so. So since we're looking at these two cross charts, is there any... I mean, I still look at these, and just the really quick thumbnail story about these. These actually came through me about 3 or 4 years ago, and then they just kind of sat, and they sat, and they sat, and I had some other materials, you know, to do a cross class, and it just sat there. Because I don't, looking back now, I don't think I was prepared to really formulate this session on the cross before now, or fairly recently. But looking at these, I mean, can you guys see some clarity in these? I mean, I look at them sometimes and, gee, these are really confusing. But what I can tell you about them is look at them kind of like flow charts, like spiritual flow charts, if that makes any sense. You know, these are journeys where our divinity meets our humanity, and on the horizontal beams, at least in the cross of integration, on the Holy Spirit side, those are the activities that we participate in to move to that central point. And on the side that says Amen, that's really meant to indicate these are the ministries that we perform once that centrality has been achieved. Well, on earth, with the co-redemptive cross, it's a little bit different. I mean, we participate in obedience, which is really obeying the law. And out of that comes our suffering, because we start to struggle with our own ideas. And out of the suffering comes communion, real communion, and listening to that inner voice which brings the inspiration and the purification. And when all those steps are complete, we achieve that atonement and that union. And as a result, what comes out of us is that it is finished consciousness. And it comes out in our ministries. It comes out in our words. It comes out in our witness and our testimony, and it comes out in our lives so that we can become lights unto the world. So I hope that clarifies what's going on these two charts. Now, comments, questions, anything about those?
There is so much hope, I think, in the cross of integration. Because as we are here in this memory session, we can stand in the heart, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," because I believe we are all here at such a time as this to be the lights of Christ unto the world. And as we function more bringing that forth, then the amen can happen. Peace on earth, harmony on earth, communion on earth, all of that. And so this cross of integration for me speaks loud and clear.
Well said. Very well said. Thank you, Marjorie. It's better than I could have said it. So, any comments on what Marjorie just said, or any comments at all on these two charts? Questions? Clarifications? I think just to sum up, and again, this could, if we embrace this idea that I'm thinking about right now, going to the cross, I think, would be a lot easier for all of us. We've heard a lot about, especially from Paul, about the hope of glory. I think the willingness to be on the cross and to do to occupy the cross is no longer the hope of glory, but it's the glory itself. When we achieve that centrality. So that alone.
Could I ask you to repeat that?
That the willingness and the genuine authenticity of the cross and the experience, our experience on the cross, is no longer the hope of glory, it's the glory itself. Okay?
Yes, I think I like that, Dave. Thank you.
Now, is it to me, if that doesn't get me there, nothing's going to. It's the fulfillment. It's no longer hope. It's the actually the embrace and the activity of Christhood. All right, anything? Is there anything else anybody would like to talk about or say about anything that we've been... essay, charts, commentary, anything? Oh, I know one thing I wanted to add about, and I should probably change this, on the co-redemptive cross, way down at the bottom is the word Son. And I think what belongs in there is, and again, I think this is one of the most vital parables in the entire Bible, I think that should say prodigal son. In bondage. That's the son that's bound to the earth. And if you're... I'm sorry, somebody...
Yeah, I really didn't want to interrupt you, Dave.
Sure.
So this is unique. Tell me when you're done and I can finish it.
No. Go ahead. I can finish later.
So the experience of taking this session in memory for me so far is that... when I looked at the two crosses and I read the words, I kind of had a first impression, like a first degree, first level thing. And then, so I was moving the crosses around, you know, upside down and left to right and just trying to follow and integrate with my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And also getting something in the heart that I was not putting fingers on yet.
Right.
So the juice and the preciousness of those two memory sessions are that with the comments of everybody and you know, the veils are like, I'm really feeling that I'm looking at the sky and then the clouds are opening a little bit and I'm seeing a little bit more light and I'm seeing a little bit more light and I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, so the process of discovery is slow for me right now. And but it's nonetheless delightful. And I'm just so thoroughly enjoying and being grateful for this. Just wanted to say that.
Well, Rainey, you just nailed it, as far as I'm concerned. This is the process that should be for all of us. I mean, it should be. This is like fine wine. It should age, and it should age on its own. I mean, when I look at these, I wrote all this stuff down, and I'm looking at these crosses and going, you know, this stuff here I don't quite get, because I know how these things came through, especially these. They kind of came through in a inspiration session. So what I would, and you touched on this very elegantly, what I think we all should do, especially with you know, little tools like these cross charts, just be with them. You know, take a look at them once in a while. Let them age. And let the clarity come out of that instead of, you know, me babbling on and on all the time. Because to have an individualized experience of any of these sessions or these charts or the essay or anything, it's going to be your experience. And I think Veronique just touched on that. It's an aging process, and it's exactly how it should be for it to become full and complete and really integrated. It does take time. But that's the fruit of remembering. Let it take the time that it takes. So, thank you, Veronique. I mean, that was very well said. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else have anything?
I loved when you, it's Aline again. I loved when you put down Prodigal Son, because I just love that story. It's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
You know, lack of judgment and love and acceptance, so much in that story that I just love. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I would invite everyone, even if you've read it, if you haven't read it lately, I would recommend it highly. But try to read it with your Kingdom 3 eyes. And you'll find, like every other parable, it's the story of each and every one of us. So we all start out that way. I'm sorry, go.
This is Susan. I was just thinking that the story of Paul is also the story of the prodigal son.
Yes.
In a heightened way. And his journey to his heart is such an important part of that journey that we don't necessarily get to see in the prodigal son. We just get the beginning elements. But
yes,
all that Paul saw, did, revealed, and physically felt is our cross or our crosses. And just renews my wonder at how Paul became what he was, what
mm-hmm.
he truly was in
mm-hmm.
the end. So that was just a thought.
Well said. In fact, in a way, the prodigal son of the parable is the Kingdom 1 prodigal son, and Paul is more the Kingdom 2 transitioning to Kingdom 3 prodigal son.
Yes.
Think that works?
Yes. Yes.
Very good, yeah. I think you're absolutely right. So, and there's a comfort in both of those, because there's so much hope in both of those stories. And that idea, you know, in the prodigal son parable, the father's never absent. The father's love never changes. It never alters. It's never directed in a different way. So we are allowed our journeys because there's only one place for us to end up, and that's home. And to bring this back to the cross, I mean, even Jesus was still on that journey, right up until the time when he made the statement, "It is finished." And each of us will make that statement as well. Thank you, Susan. Anything else? Anything anyone else wants to add? Well, I will. Oh, I want to add this too. I mean, sometimes things come over the transom, and I don't want to burden Marjorie with this too much, but if there's something that's really on your, any of you guys, that's on your mind that you need some clarification on that I might be able to help with, you know, shoot Marjorie an email. She'll forward it to me, and I'll do what I can do. Is that fair? Is that a fair deal?
Yes.
Thank you for offering that.
Yes, you bet it is, Dave. And so much of this has to be percolated, so feel free whenever it shows up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll always do my best to clarify things. Okay, I'll ask one more time. Is there anything that's been left unsaid that some of you would like to say or address or anything at all?
Yes, this is Char.
Yes, Char.
My mind, like I'm assuming a lot of us, is just, it's like bubbles bursting with light. And there is an understanding at a deeper level that I never thought was possible for me. What I also see is the times that I have carried a cross that has been such a burden, but I have followed it through because of my willingness to know more of Christ. And at those times, the outcomes, whatever they might have been, whether I agreed with them or not, not only brought great comfort to me, but also great clarity.
Mm-hmm.
There have been so many ideas and so many words that have come up over the last two Saturdays that I honestly feel I cannot get a grasp on certain things, but I am beginning to understand that it doesn't make any difference whether I feel I can get a grasp on it. Because it's not about how I figure them out. It's about letting go and letting God, letting Christ through me, direct me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always admired Reverend Marcia.
Oh, yes.
She is a very strong and powerful being. And yet I see that what she did for me was to open a door that says, I am just as powerful. We all are, each and every one of us, because of the true presence of Christ in us.
Yes.
So it's that when I think of the cross and how elegantly you have verbalized some of the intersection where the crosses come together, I'm going to have to sit and really allow that to percolate in me, because I see from that point, from where the two come together, there is the power, there is the clarity. There is the presence. And
there
I've not ever...
Glory.
I'm sorry?
There is the glory.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I have never, while I have, you know, in my mind, oh, I don't want to be powerful because people in my previous life that had power was used destructively. And so I have fought that for years. Mm. It's like dancing around the cross. Oh, yes, I'm willing to suffer. Oh, yes, I'm willing to be open. But, oh, no, I can't be powerful at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But the last couple of sessions, the memory of the truth of who I am, the truth of who we all are, has become more and more clear.
Yeah, I'm so pleased to hear you say that. That's what it's all
so,
about.
So, thank you.
Well, thank you. And I just want to make a note here. I don't say a lot about it, but through Shara's words, I hope you heard what was intertwined with every word she spoke, and that was passion. So I just want to recognize that. Such an essential element at this point in our consciousness. We stand at the door and knock, and one of the elements that gets us through the door is the passion of the Christ. So never be... Thank you, Shara, for demonstrating that. We should never hold back on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else that has a word to say or a comment to make? Anything at all?
Hi, I'm Arlene. I loved what you had to say, Shara. I do believe that I have that power within me. I was born with it, but I didn't know it at the time, you know, growing up. But I do know that today we all have that power.
Yes.
And
yes.
And it's just a wonderful feeling that I have that power. And I'm just so ever so grateful to know that today. But I did not know that before. So thanks for clarifying all that.
Well, and I'm glad. Thank you, Shara, for the statement that you made. But the secret that may be hidden from us yet is that when Christ made the statement, it is the meek that will inherit the earth, he didn't mean what he meant by that. Meekness is power. But it's that fully developed wisdom on how to administer that power as he did. So meekness is not weakness. It's power and wisdom sent into expression. That is what meekness is.
Oh, Dave, this is Shar again.
Yes, ma'am.
thank you for that statement. Thank you, thank you, thank you. As I stated before, people in my life in the past that had power, it was not good. But what I have started to see within myself is I don't have to act out in a negative way or yell or scream or holler or any of that to get my point across or to help someone figure out what they're trying to say. Because I learned a long time ago that if I approach it with calmness, if I approach it with clear words, it changes the situation. I know I'm losing it here, and I don't mean to be just yammering, but there is a way to use your power in a very productive way.
Can I do a clarification on what you just said? And see if you agree with it. It's because at that level, the level of meekness, we're not using our power. We're using the power.
Yes.
There's a difference.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. And until you said the few sentences prior, after Aline talked, I didn't get it, but I certainly do now.
That power can't be misdirected.
No. It cannot.
So,
and you can only use your power. You cannot use someone else's power or try and copy someone else's power the way you see it.
Well, our power, if we think it belongs to us, then that puts us in the realm of duality. I have power, somebody else doesn't. And that is always fear-based. And people you see misdirecting power like that, it's always based in fear, each and every time.
Exactly.
You know, from Hitler to David Koresh, it's always based in the fear. But to use the power, that's the power that cannot be misdirected.
Yes, it cannot.
So, there you go.
Well, thank you.
I think I interrupted you, though, to say that.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay.
It was perfect timing.
Okay.
I would like to, it's Arlene. As far as power, I think I used that example when I had that experience with that woman with her dogs.
Oh,
I responded with ability rather than reacting with disability.
Yes.
I know that Christ was there. I was responding with ability with my power.
Yes.
And responding with ability, not reacting with disability. So yes. And I was able to use that, and I felt it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anything at all? All righty then. Well, I would ask our beloved Char to do a benediction for us with my thanks, and we're not done. I'm working on something new right now that I'll be letting the cat out of the bag probably when I'm getting close. We'll make an announcement on that. But more to come, folks. And thank you all so much for being here. It just is a gift. So, Char, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So, most beloved Christ, each one of us has stepped up this day and stepped to the cross. Not at the foot, but at the very center. Through our beloved Dave Christ, the way has been made clearer and easier. For as each one of us has picked up our light, our Christ presence, and carrying it, we have opened and expanded not only our memory of the truth of our being, we have exposed the very earth to this. So that as we go forward from this day, we go forward as being made new and resurrected in the image and likeness, the mind, the wisdom, and the clarity that Christ so willingly brought to each and every one of us. I am grateful for this day. I am grateful to each beloved Christ on this call. For going forth now in the glory and power of Jesus Christ, I give eternal thanks. And so I release these words, knowing that they have been heard, answered, and fulfilled in each one of us. In the name of beloved Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Again, thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful.
I hope we're all again together soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye now.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.